chapter 24 is the text we're going to be in. Of course, today we celebrate what took place nearly 2,000 years ago. We celebrate a fact that separates Christianity from any other religion today. Today we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. It's not just songs that we sing, but that Jesus Christ is alive as He said He would be. One day a little girl in her public school, she was talking about her faith as a Christian in a public school, and she was talking about her faith, and one smart aleck teacher kind of nearby heard her. And he came up to the little girl and he said, so which Christ are you talking about? Aren't there many different Christs? And the little girl very wisely responded by saying, sir, there are many pretenders, but I worship the one that rose from the dead. And you know, today we are celebrating not just a God that is still dead and still in a tomb, but today we celebrate Jesus Christ, who is God and who is alive. And as I was thinking about this message today, there are many facts that I could share. Many facts about the resurrection. And the facts are important. And what I'm going to say today does not minimize the facts of the resurrection. I could try to stay up here today and prove to you that Jesus Christ is alive with many different facts. Let me give you a few that I could share. I could share with you the fact that Jesus was seen after His resurrection by many. Here's just a few. He was seen by Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was a woman that was demon-possessed, and Christ healed her. And later in John 10 and Mark 16, she saw the resurrected Christ. By two other women in Matthew 28, they saw the resurrected Christ. Peter himself, it says in 1 Corinthians 15 and Luke 24, he saw the resurrected Christ. The two on the road to Emmaus, that's what I'm going to talk about today, they saw the resurrected Christ. There was 10 of the disciples in the end of this chapter we're going to look at today. They saw the resurrected Christ. 8 days later, 11 of those disciples saw the resurrected Christ in John chapter number 20. 7 of the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias in John 21 saw the resurrected Christ. This one gets me every time. 500 followers at one time, according to 1 Corinthians 15, saw the resurrected Christ. The reason I think that is so important, and one that's always stood up to me in studying even when I was in Bible college, is because have you ever been around that person that says they've seen some pretty weird things, and you're in your mind, back of your mind, you're going, yeah, right. You have not seen that. I have. There's people that told me they've seen this vision and this, and I had someone recently tell me they saw these visions, and to be honest with you, I was not unkind to them, but in my mind, I went, yeah, right. I didn't believe it. I don't believe it. The Bible is our final word. God gives us the word of God. And so if I heard just one or two people saying this, I would think, yeah, they made a little pizza a little bit too late in the night before they went to bed, and they're seeing things. I don't know what it is. I don't believe it. But when you have 500 people come and say, at the same time we saw Jesus Christ, 500 stories, 500 people say we saw the resurrected Christ, that for any doubter that ought to prove. So then even James, now if that one doesn't get you, my second favorite of the 10 I'm just giving you is James. James is the brother of Jesus. I just spent some time with my brother watching, unfortunately, the IU game. And if my brother would say to me, hey, Brad, I'm actually the Messiah, you know what I would do? I would probably punch him, to be honest, my brother. And I would be like, no, you're not the Messiah. I don't believe it. Matter of fact, James, the brother of Jesus, didn't believe Jesus in his earthly ministry. He was not a follower of Jesus in his earthly ministry. He didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Just imagine if your brother came to you and said, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Son of God. You're not going to believe it. You see him. And James didn't believe Jesus at first until he saw the resurrected Christ. All of a sudden now James is one of those that saw his brother back. If I went to the grave, a funeral and saw my brother and he came back to life, I may believe him. James did. And James became the first pastor of the church we're talking about on Sunday nights. He wrote the book of James, and he became a great follower after Christ's ascension of his brother and promoter of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so, not only the 500, but his own brother saw him, and 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, and then finally the 11 saw Jesus ascend up in Acts chapter number 1. See, Jesus Christ was seen by many after his resurrection. I could talk about that fact. I could talk about another fact. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, it was prophesied hundreds, even thousands of years before Jesus rose again. It was prophesied that this would happen all the way back, Genesis 3:15, Isaiah 53 and 54, Psalm 22, Psalm 16, and I could go on. These are some books that prophesy, some texts that prophesy that this is going to happen, that He's going to die, but that He will rise again. And then Jesus in His earthly ministry, in his earthly ministry, he said that this is going to happen. Now, disciples didn't understand that. We're going to see it in our text today. But Jesus said, I'm going to die. Listen to three texts. He said this. For as Jonas, here's Jesus speaking in Matthew 12. He said, for as Jonas, or Jonah, was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be there 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So even Jesus said it. And then John 2, he says, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise it up. And then probably the clearest to me is in Mark 8 when he said, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and killed, and after 3 days, rise again. See, Jesus, even in his earthly ministry, he knew it was prophesied in the Old Testament. Yes, there were people that saw him after he rose again, but in his earthly ministry, he said, this is going to happen to me. But the disciples were confused. They kept thinking, no, you're going to set up your kingdom. No, you're going to help us overthrow the Roman government. Well, no. But Jesus kept saying, listen, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. 3 days later, though, I will rise again. And they could not grasp it. So I could share with you, as I've kind of have in a quick way today, all the facts and take all my time telling you the facts. But let me just say, the facts are what we base everything on. But today I'm going to use a word that sometimes we're scared to use. But I want to share this thought to you today that we see in this text. Yes, the facts are true. They don't change. That's what we base everything on. But today I want you to experience the risen Christ. Have you experienced it for yourself? You say, well, yeah, Pastor Brad, but I wasn't one of the 500. Yeah, but Pastor Brad, I wasn't there to hear Jesus actually say that. Well, do you know, in my own life, when I was 12 years old, and I went, my dad took the Bible and showed me how to be saved, and I accepted Christ as my Savior, that moment of salvation, I experienced that Jesus Christ is alive. He's not dead. And Christ, in the form of the Spirit of God, came to live inside of me. And I want to talk to you about that today. Brother Chris, who was just here and preaching our revival meetings last week, which, by the way, thank you for coming out to revival meetings all week long. I had a great attendance all week, great spirit was here this week. But Brother Chris, a few years ago, went to either Lancaster or Branson, Missouri, and went to the Sight and Sound Theater. Anybody ever been to the Sight and Sound Theater? It's great. Some of you have. And they went to the Sight and Sound Theater, and they saw a production of Noah. And in that, if you've never been, you got to go. But in that, they loved it. They came back and they told us all about it. They said, hey, Brad, Erica, you got to go see this. It was great. And they were telling us all about the Noah play that they had seen and the musical. And in the second act, I guess, you're inside the ark. And they told us all about it. And we listened. And because we're friends, we like, yeah, that sounds cool. But we hadn't experienced it. But it sounded good. I mean, I'm not a real musical type of guy. They drug me up here to sing. No, they didn't do that. But I'm not a real musical guy. So when there's music involved in that, I thought, I don't know if I don't even want to listen to it. But they talked about it, and it sounded pretty neat. I knew these two facts. I knew that there's a Sight and Sound Theater in Lancaster, and there's one in Branson, Missouri. I knew that they're playing Noah, and Chris said it was cool. That's what I knew. A few years ago, we were going on vacation with Chris and Sarah. I think we went down to Branson, Missouri, somewhere. Or maybe Lancaster. And Chris said, we got to go see Noah. We got to go see it. We're like, all right. So we went and saw it. And when we went to see this Noah, finally we got to experience it for ourselves. And we loved it. The second act, it opened up around us and we can see the animals, live animals in there. And we loved it. Matter of fact, when we left, we're going to people saying, hey, you got to go. Matter of fact, I'm telling you right now, you got to go see it. It is amazing. But why? What changed in me? I experienced it for myself. Once I experienced it for myself, I knew the facts, but once I experienced it for myself, it changed my life. And today in this text, we're going to look at two disciples on their way home that got to experience the resurrected Christ for themselves, and it changed their life. Let's bow for a word of prayer and say, God, speak to my heart today, and then let's get into this text. Father, thank you so much for our church family. Lord, we have sang these songs to try to prepare our hearts. Lord, we've looked even, I've shared some of the facts about the resurrection, that you're alive. And that's what we base everything on. But Lord, I pray today that if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, that today they would experience that for themselves. If there's someone here that's drawn cold in their walk with you that is saved, Lord, I pray that today they would experience again the victory that comes from your resurrection. Lord, have your will and way in this. Guide me as I speak. Use this message to challenge all of our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Look at our text. I'm going to walk down through it, share some thoughts as we go. Look at chapter number 24, verse 1. It says, "Now upon the first day of the week, on Sunday, very early in the morning, they came." So these women had come unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Now, back in the Bible times, you got to imagine they didn't have the embalming process, so a body would begin to stink after a few days. And so the normal process would be that you would, if you had the money, you would bring in these ointments and you would anoint the body so that it would kind of offset some of the smell that was going to be taking place in the next few days. And so here comes these ladies in the tomb on the third day, the first day of the week, but it's the third day, expecting then to find the body of Jesus and to take these ointments and the spices that they had and place them on. But verse number 2 says, "And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher." This wasn't some small stone. I mean, this is a pretty good sized stone, and it was rolled away when they approached. They immediately knew something was off. And verse 3 says, "And they entered and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." He's gone. Now, you would think at this moment that these followers, these ladies, and even the men at this point would be like, "Wow, Jesus kept his word. This is exactly what Jesus said." But you got to remember, they were so confused on this whole thing. You and I, we look back 2,000 years and we can say, "Why did you guys get this?" But they were so confused, and the body wasn't there. It says, "And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." So there's these two angels. "And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them," I like this phrase, we sing it in our song tonight, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" These angels kind of look at these ladies and say, "Hey, what are you doing here? You're looking for someone who's alive at a graveyard, where there's in a tomb where there's normally dead people." Well, I'm not saying the angel was sarcastic. I'm not being disrespectful to the angel, but he did just die 3 days ago. I mean, so it's not too foolish of these women to go there. But the angels make it a point that Jesus Christ is not dead, he's alive. And he goes on in the next verse and says, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet at Galilee, saying," and they're reminding him, trying to help these ladies to understand, "saying that the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. All of a sudden, "Oh yeah, I remember that." "And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the leaven and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them. And they told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales." Get that. "And they believed them not." So here these women come, and they come back from the tomb. They said, "He's not here. We went and looked, and we saw these two angels." And they come back and tell these very spiritual apostles, Peter and them, and they go, "Well, I don't believe you. You guys are just telling tales. You women, you know, you exaggerate your stories. You don't know what he..." And they didn't believe it. They said they believed him not. "Then arose Peter." Another text tells us that John did as well. "And he ran to the sepulchre, stooping down, and beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed," notice again, "wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." You gotta imagine that this whole town knew in Jerusalem what was going on that cross. Everybody was talking about it. And now here they are, they come, and the tomb is empty and the body's gone. And now, starting in verse number 13, we find two disciples. Some say they're husband and wife. We only know the name of one. Some say they were just two men. We have no idea exactly who the second one was. But we find two disciples on their way back to their hometown in Emmaus. So this is what it says, "And behold, two of them that went the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. That's about 7 or 8 miles. Just to kind of help you out, I wanted to measure that out myself. So I had my little iPad out, and I was measuring it last night before I went to bed. If you were to take off walking from the church parking lot right now, you were to walk all the way through Hanover, and you would walk up to where 62 is at East. 62 East heads down to Charleston. If you were to go all the way to that intersection right there, that's about 8 miles. So that's where they were walking. They were walking to their town, which was actually northeast of Jerusalem. And they were walking about 8 miles. So imagine right now after church, you got done. You said, thanks, Pastor Brad. You shook my hand. And you begin to walk all the way through Hanover up to where 62 heads down to Charleston. If you walked all the way to there, that's where they were headed. And so they, on this journey, they're walking and by themselves. Notice what was going on. It says, and they talked together of the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. This is where I get my first point. My first point of two is this, that Jesus initiated the conversation. I want you to catch this because I'm going to spend some time on it. That Jesus initiated the conversation. Here's two guys, and they're walking about 8 miles back to their hometown. And the whole time they're talking about the fact that Jesus Christ, whom they were followers of, had died. And they watched their one that they loved die, and they watched him crucified, and now he's been placed in a tomb, and they're walking back talking about it. And it says in the verse of 17, it says, and he said to them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another and walk and are sad? Jesus noticed their countenance. You know when someone's sad, you can see it on their face. You definitely know when they're mad. You know when your wife's mad, husbands, you know when she's mad, you can see that. But you can also tell when someone is sad. And Jesus, when he approached them, he initiated this conversation. And when he asked them, he says, why are you guys so sad? What are you talking about? And they looked at him, and they looked at Jesus, and they said in verse number 18, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said to him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? He goes, are you new to this town? How do you not know what just happened? Jesus Christ, whom we said was the Messiah, was crucified. Are you from out of town? How do you not know about Jesus? And he's telling them this. And Jesus said, verse 19, unto them, what things? Now, of course, Christ knows, but he's trying to draw this out. He's initiating a conversation. I'm going to come back to it in a second. For a specific purpose. And he said, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. Notice they just call him a prophet here. They didn't call him the Messiah now. They just call him a prophet because they're confused. Which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief of priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted. Notice that phrase. We trusted that it had been he which should have been redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, that's Peter, and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now let me stop for a second now. There's the text for a while. Now I want you to see that Jesus initiated this conversation. Why? Why would Jesus, think about this for just a second, you're God. You just died for the sins of mankind. Now you just rose again as you said you were going to do. There's business you got to take care of. Why stop and talk to two guys that are on, or maybe husband, wife, whatever, that are on their way back home, why stop? And I think two reasons I noticed in this text. Number one, they were discouraged. These were two discouraged people, followers of Jesus. Not only discouraged, but secondly, they were confused. They said, what's going on? And they're walking back. Yes, it's just two, but they're discouraged, they're confused, they don't know what to even believe anymore, what to think. The one whom they gave their life for, the one whom they were praising, the one whom they followed has now been dead, he's in the tomb, but now he's out of the tomb. They don't know what's going on, they're confused, they're discouraged. And Jesus sought out these two men, and he initiated a conversation. You know what? Jesus, I believe, is in trying to initiate a conversation with many of us in here today. Maybe you're here and you say, well, I'm here because I got a flyer, or I'm here just because someone invited me, or I'm just here because it's Easter and I decided to come today. I don't know why you're here, but whatever reason you're here, Jesus is trying to initiate a conversation with you. He still does this today. It may be that you're discouraged and he knows you need to be encouraged. It may be that you're confused. There's so many people today confused on heaven, confused on this subject of Jesus' death and His resurrection and how do I really get to heaven and what? But this church says this and this church says this and there's so much confusion. And let me ask you this. Does Jesus want the confusion? No, Satan wants the confusion. But God is not an author of confusion. He doesn't want the confusion, so He gives us the Bible to read the Bible, to study the Bible, to see what it says. And just as Jesus tried to clear up the confusion for these two disciples, and just as Jesus tried to encourage two discouraged disciples, Jesus is trying to initiate a conversation with you today. He takes the initiative. That's what I love about our God. He takes the initiative in our lives. He sees when we're discouraged, and He takes the initiative. You ever had those people? You ever had those people that every time, and there was one person that where I used to be before, older lady, she's passed, she was a sweet lady, but every time you're walking out, she'd shake your hand and go, hey, how are you doing? You say her name, she, oh, it's been a terrible week. You know, this and this, and she'd go on and on and on. So I changed my whole thing. Because I really, this is horrible, this is terrible. I don't think they can see in heaven necessarily, but I hope she doesn't hear me right now. But I really didn't care. I was just, I mean, I did, but I did. I didn't want to hear all of the bad things like, well, my cat got sick and threw up on this. And I mean, it was not big things like someone, big spiritual things. It was like just everything. And it was always negative. There was never a good week. So I changed how I did it. Whenever she's walking out, I'd say, hey, good to see you today. And I went, the first time I got her, she said, well, it's been, I was thinking, I didn't ask you. I didn't ask how it was. I want to know how your day was because I knew it was going to be bad and negative and your cat did this and your dog did this. But, and I say that somewhat jokingly, but I didn't. But you know, so I never took the initiative. I was trying to not take the initiative to ask the question anymore because she really was telling me everything bad that took place in her life. Now, some of you are going to say on the way out today, you're shaking my hand, you're going to be like, I'm not going to tell him anything. Or, you can tell me whatever you want, all right? But I wasn't taking the initiative. But you know what? We have a God that takes the initiative in our lives. He knows when we're confused and He doesn't wait. He'll come to us and say, I want to help you with that confusion. Yes, it's not in a physical sense like Jesus did to these two, but he does through the Word of God. He does it sometimes by sending, crossing your paths with people. You know, I'm convinced this last Sunday, was it Sunday morning or Sunday night? There was a lady, and I've shared with our church family, but there was a lady that works at Walmart, and that she's always saw my wife and my kids when they were checking out because we like live at Walmart sometimes. And my wife was invited to church, and last Sunday she came to the revival meetings and accepted Christ as her Savior. Do you think it was an accident that my wife and kids cross her path so much at Walmart? You know what I call that? Jesus taking the initiative in Laura's life. Taking the initiative. And here's how Jesus took the initiative. He took some people and He said, hey, it's not like my wife's walking through Walmart and all of a sudden, zzz, oh, Lord's speaking to me. All right, yes, I'll go down this aisle, the longest aisle. Sure, I'll do that, Lord. That's not what happens. The Lord uses people as they yield to Him and God used them in her life because Jesus was taking the initiative in someone that was confused in her religion that she was in. She was confused. And she heard the gospel last Sunday and got saved. There's others that cross people's paths. It's not an accident that you cross, but not an accident that you're here today. Jesus Christ is trying to initiate a conversation in your life to, if you're not saved, to share with you the gospel so that you can know about what He did for you, so that you'll know what Easter's all about, so that you can accept Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe the conversation He's trying to have with you is maybe you're saved, but you've drawn away from God, you're backslidden. You're away from Him and your heart's grown cold, and He's trying to initiate a conversation with you today on this Easter Sunday to say, hey, I'm alive. I've given you the victory. Don't live in defeat. I'm alive today. And just as you sang about me being alive, and just as you sang about how Christ arose, I'm still alive. I still indwell you if you're saved today. Don't live defeated. But see, Jesus took the initiative. He saw that these guys were sad. He saw that they were confused. And Jesus came into their life to try to encourage them. Now, they didn't know who He was because it says, I don't think I read that text, but it said, verse 16, that their eyes were holden, that they should not know Him. It's that idea behind the word holden. It's the idea that I believe that God kept them from understanding who Jesus was. You say, well, why would He do that? Well, to be honest with you, I don't know. I don't have the mind of God right now. But He kept them from seeing who He was at this point and allowed them to walk. And this, I'm thankful they did because this is the only scripture that we have about these two men. And so they're walking, and as Jesus is listening to them, and they're walking, imagine yourself walking all the way through Hanover right now with Jesus, and they're walking and they're saying, yes, Jesus was the one we followed. He was a prophet. He did many good deeds and everything. We thought he was the Messiah, and he was crucified. He died. And all this took place, and they're just talking about it. And finally, Jesus, he gets a word in verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools. Now, we look at that as almost like an insult. Like, well, you call me a fool? But really, the word means you simple ones. You're missing it. Notice what he goes on to say. He says, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? He said, and so now Jesus has been listening to them on this trip, and now all of a sudden he stops them and he says, hey guys, you're missing it. You're missing everything. Don't you know what the prophet said? And Jesus goes, look at verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded or taught or preached unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So here's Jesus, and now they're walking to this place, and Jesus begins to just preach about himself. He takes them all the way back to Moses, which is the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. And he says, didn't Moses talk about this? Moses told you that that one would rise again. And he goes to the prophets and said, the prophets said that this would happen. And he just begins to lay all of this out for them. And as they're journeying, they're listening, and they got to their home. It says, and he, Jesus, end of verse 28, made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, hey, abide with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went and tarried with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, that he took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave them to eat. And their eyes were opened. God released that, whatever he was keeping them from being able to see who Jesus was. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. You imagine that? They're walking with him all day. They finally get home, and they're talking. They say, hey, stay with us. We want to know more. And they're listening. And all of a sudden, Jesus takes and he breaks the bread. I wonder, this is just my personal opinion, if when that happened, they started thinking about what the disciples had said took place in that upper room. All of a sudden, the Lord opened their eyes, and they realized, this, we're talking to Jesus himself. And as soon as they realized this is Jesus, all of a sudden, he's gone, vanished out of their sight. And then they begin to talk about, where I get to my second point. Jesus, first of all, he initiated this conversation. He saw they were discouraged. He saw that they were confused. So he initiated because he wanted to meet the needs that they had. But that conversation led to the fact that Jesus then ignited their heart. Look at what they say in verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. And I'll get to what they say in a minute. So notice what they said. Once they realized it was Jesus, all of a sudden they're going, well, where'd he go? He's gone. That was Jesus. And they said, the guy, one looks at the other, whether it was a husband or wife or friend to friend. They said, when we were talking, did your heart not just burn? Didn't you just... That was amazing. That was like the best lesson I've ever heard. And they were amazed by it. And what took place was, in their heart, Jesus had ignited that passion again that had drawn cold. You see, on their road to Emmaus, they were sad. They were confused. They were beginning to doubt. Was he really the Messiah? I mean, we were followers of this man Jesus, but now he's dead and he let them take him. He let them crucify him. Maybe he's really not the Messiah, and they were discouraged. But now, when they've just walked with Jesus, and Jesus said, listen, this is what God said in the Word of God. This is going to happen. And they got done, and they got their lesson, their message from Jesus, and they said, wow, our hearts were burning when we talked with him. And I got to thinking about this. You know what? There may be that Jesus is initiating a conversation in your life today, or recently, maybe in the last revival meetings we just had. One, because maybe you need to be saved. The blunt fact of it is, if you died today, you would not be in heaven. You'd be in a place called hell. And Jesus is initiating a conversation with you to say, listen, wake up. We don't want you to die and go there. I died so that you don't have to go spend eternity there. I died so that you could spend eternity with me. I was buried and rose again so that you could come to be with me. Don't die and go to hell. That's part of the initiating the conversation. But maybe to us Christians, Jesus is initiating saying, listen, I know you may be discouraged. I know you may be going through a tough time. I know you may be confused on some things. And your heart may have grown cold. But it may very well be that you're here this morning because the Lord, I know He wants you here, but He's trying to initiate a conversation saying, I want to ignite your heart again for me. I want you to get passionate about the things of God again and get passionate about the Word of God. You notice what made them, what lit their heart on fire was they communed with Jesus. What do we refer to as communion with Jesus today? When we pray, we talk to God. When we read the Word of God, God speaks to us. When the Word of God is preached, the Spirit of God speaks to us. And it may be that your heart has grown cold because you've stopped talking to God in prayer. You've stopped listening to God in preaching. You've stopped reading God's Word. And all of a sudden now, your heart has grown cold. And Jesus has initiated a conversation with you today so that He may ignite your heart once again to be on fire for Him. To be passionate about the Word of God. To get back to a prayer life that says, God, I want to talk to You. I don't want to be confused in life. I want to ask You for wisdom. I don't want to be discouraged all the time. I want to go to Your Word and get the encouragement and get the food that feeds my spiritual life. God, that's what I want. God wants to ignite your heart. But He initiates these conversations. We can try to run from God. We can try to ignore God. But He loves us too much to let us run too far. He'll continue to initiate a conversation. Because He wants to ignite our hearts for Him. And notice what happened. When their hearts were ignited on fire for Him, immediately they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now, when I first read that, it wasn't until last night, probably about, I don't know, midnight when I laid down. I just got my iPad out and reading over the text one more time, and this jumped out at me again. I didn't even think about it. They walked 8 miles. So imagine after church, you get out of church, you shake my hand, you just start walking towards Hanover. You walk all the way through Hanover, you go up past Sam and Brenda's house, and you get up to the intersection there where the lights flashing and you can go off to 62. And right there you forgot something at the church. Oh, I forgot something at the church. So you turn around and walk 8 miles back. That would just drive me crazy. But these guys, when they got all the way home, 8 miles, they realized who Jesus was. Their hearts were on fire for God. They were so excited that it says that same hour, the same hour Jesus vanished, the same time that they realized who He was, that Jesus Christ is alive, they returned and went all the 8 miles all the way back just to tell the disciples this. Watch what happened. They get back to tell the disciples what happened. And verse number 33, they rose at the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were there with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." That word "indeed" is what jumped out at me when I was studying this text this week. The word "indeed" means really, certainly. And the idea behind it is this. These guys, do you remember from earlier in the text, these guys already knew the tomb was empty. The ladies told them that in the morning. They already knew the tomb was empty. So why not just believe it? They hadn't experienced Christ for themselves. But now, at the end of this chapter, when they come running back, everybody's already talking about it, but they jump in and say, "Yes, Jesus is risen. Indeed, it's really, I've experienced it for myself." Some of you were singing hymns a minute ago. "He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today." Some of you were singing "Christ arose," but we live as if He's not alive. Some of us will sing praise to God, "He's alive," and then walk out of these doors defeated, living like He's dead. Let me remind you, do you know why Jesus Christ rose from the grave? He rose victorious over sin. When Jesus went into that grave, it looked like sin, the sins of mankind, had defeated Him. The sin had won. 1 Corinthians 15, I love to preach at a funeral, at the end of a funeral at the graveside, because I said it looks like sin wins right now. Whenever death comes, sin looks like it's victorious. But remember that 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "O death, where is thy sting?" Because Jesus Christ rose again. Every other human being, when they die, they stay dead. I've done a lot of funerals, whether it be myself or my dad or my grandpa, who's all pastors. I've been to a lot of funerals. I've never been to a funeral where someone all of a sudden comes back and says, "Oh, hey, how's it going, guys? What are you guys doing around here?" I've never been to one like that, and I hope I don't ever have to see one. But there was one when Jesus Christ was in that tomb that morning, over 2,000 years ago, and those women went to find him. Peter and John went to find him. They couldn't find him because he was alive. Why seek ye the dead among the living? The living among the dead, excuse me. Jesus Christ was alive. The reason he's alive is because not only did he show victory over sin and death and conquered it, but now he gives to you and me victory over sin and death. You don't have to stay defeated in your sin. You can live in victory. It's why we sing that old song, Victory in Jesus. Why do we sing that? It's so amazing. Sometimes we'll sing, oh, victory in Jesus, and we leave defeated and defeated and defeated. Oh, sin's just beating me up. Sin's beating me up. Why? We have victory in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is risen indeed. Could you say this morning, Christ is risen indeed? Now, some of you, you know the fact. You believe it. And facts are what we base everything on. So some of you say, I know, Pastor Brad, I believe it without a doubt. I know the facts that Jesus is alive and I believe it. Great. I'm glad you believe the facts. That's the basis what we base everything on. But what I want to ask you today is this. Have you actually experienced it in your life? Have you sensed Christ in your life? Have you seen His power through you? Oh, not to make you strong and look strong. His power to be a witness. His power to live the fruit of the Spirit in your lives. His power to get victory over that anger, over that worry, over that bad attitude, over that mouth. That's why Christ rose victorious over sin. And what I want to challenge us today is let's leave here like these men. And let's go out into the restaurants or wherever we go and be able to declare the Lord is risen indeed. I know He is. He's really alive. It's more than just a fact. I know Him personally in my life. Because Jesus initiated a conversation with me and He ignited my heart for Him. And I know He's alive indeed. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes for just a second.